You're listening to Thunder Quack Podcast Network.
Say, what in blazes is going on here?
Hey, stop that. It hurts.
Brigadoon.
Yeah. Terrafermians don't like being poked.
Terrafermians? Is that what you are?
Isn't everybody?
Hello and welcome back to Cartoon Afternoon for DuckTales Classic, Season 1, Episode 29, Earthquack. I'm one of your hosts, Curtis Findlay.
I'm your other host, Michael Cohen.
And this is our the only episode that we are going to squeeze in before a new 2017 DuckTales episode. Mm-hmm. And we're going to take a look at this classic DuckTales episode that relates to one that we watched in the new series. This one's called Earthquack. The one that it relates to is called Terror of the Terrafermians, and they both are about this group of underground dwellers that cause earthquakes. But before we get into the episode, do we have any news to share, Mike?
I don't think that there's really much news. I did get my box of Disney Afternoon Mystery Minis from Funko, and I'm pretty happy. I got my Darkwing Duck. And Launchpad and Gosselin. So that's really all I was after. And then the rest of the box is just bonus, but I managed to get Monty, who is one of the harder to find figures.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, and I got a Scrooge, got two sets of Chip and Dale, so one of those is going to come to live with you, Curtis.
Nice.
I also got Huey and Webby, as well as Kit Cloud Kicker.
Nice.
Is that the whole set? Yeah, that's everybody that I got. So definitely missing a few characters.
Are you gonna try and find those guys?
No, not really. I mean, like if I came across them and they were inexpensive, I would pick them up. But just to fill out the other two triplets. If I ever do come across a gadget, I'd probably pay upwards of like $20-$25 for her, because that would complete my Rescue Rangers.
Right.
But I'm not going to go out of my way. I don't care about getting Morgana. I never really liked Morgana on the show anyways. I've always felt weird about that character.
We'll have to see what comes up with Wave 2. They'll probably hopefully get some of the villains in there.
Yeah, I think that Wave 2 is going to be definitely Gizmo Duck will be in there. They're holding him back as a character that everybody's going to want. Probably Gummy Bears, Goof Troop, maybe even Gargoyles. We'll have to wait and see. I feel like Gargoyles could almost get a Mystery Minis by itself.
Probably
so many great characters in Gargoyles, because I mean, like, just with the Gargoyles themselves, there's six of them if you include
and then a couple of humans, and there's a lot of different side characters that pop up.
Exactly. Yeah, because I mean, like, you've got, like, just for me, it would be if you did all the Gargoyles, all six Gargoyles, the human characters, you know, Xanatos, and and then you'd have to. I feel like you have to do the Wolf Pack in series one.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And then in a series two, you can get into characters like like Macbeth. Oh man.
Yeah, and Puck and all.
And Puck, yeah, and get into exactly. the whole Midsummer Night's Dream cast of characters and all the Goliath Chronicles characters, the other gargoyles from other places, and
right.
and the future gargoyles, and yeah, man, when we get to Gargoyles, which we will, that is probably the show that I can't wait to talk about the most. Like I don't want to jump right into it after DuckTales, but maybe we'll do a little bit of Darkwing first. But because the thing about Gargoyles is that I feel like once we start, it's going to be very hard to just do like one season and then break. Cause that show
yeah, we'll only have to
gets
go
better
right,
as it goes,
right,
but
through it.
Yeah. But yeah, I would love to see mystery minis for Gargoyles. I think the thing with Gargoyles is that it's a little bit harder cause the licensing is a little trickier. Cause there are people involved with Gargoyles that don't necessarily like to play nice with Disney. So, yeah.
Well, I found we were down in the States for a vacation and went into Hot Topic and saw them there, and I bought one, and I got Peter to open it up, and we recorded yep. that and posted it on the Thunderquack YouTube page so you can see that. And it ended up being Webby, which out of all of the characters that we could have possibly got, that was my least favorite of the bunch, so that was unfortunate, but oh well. I was super impressed with the sculpt for such a small character or a small figure. Yeah. It looks really, really nice.
They are the sculpts are really nice. The paint applications are a little iffy, and it's yeah. kind of luck of the draw. I think it's either my Monty or my Launchpad that has a little bit crooked eyes, little crooked pupils.
Right.
One of those two characters, his pupils are just like they're just slightly off level. So one pupil is a little bit higher than the other. But you can tell that what happened is the figure just kind of got twisted a little bit in the paint process. But, cause the paint applications are mostly done by robots.
Right. Yeah.
With these ones. So, they are overall, they're pretty fantastic figures though. I think they're well worth the price. And when they do another box, another series, I will get another box and open them up, and yeah, I'm happy with my purchase for sure.
Well, let's get into our episode here.
Yeah, let's do it.
So I'm going to read off the episode description as it is written in DuckTales issue number 4 that was published by Gladstone. Gladstone had the license for Disney Comics when DuckTales was airing, and they gave DuckTales its own series, and they decided to put in a little episode guide as well. So each issue has like 7 or 8 episode descriptions. Then this was back before the days of the internet, so it was kind of a pleasure to have these. A lot of people use them. So this is what it says for Earthquake. Gyro constructs a giant shock absorber to correct the earthquake fault beneath the money bin. But when tunneling down, Scrooge and the boys are lost in the land of the Terry Firmies, whose national sport is causing earthquakes. Scrooge finds his pushy attitude doesn't work on the Terra Firmies. A big quake causes all of Scrooge's money to cascade miles underground. Scrooge and the nephews outwit the Terry Firmies, stop the earthquakes, and recover Scrooge's fortune. This episode aired October 22nd, 1987, and it was written by Mark Young, or adapted, I guess, from the Carl Barks story that's originally... Well, we'll get to that in a little bit. And then this one is directed by Alan Zaslav.
Awesome.
So,
yeah.
You mentioned just before we were recording that this was not one of your favorite episodes.
Yeah.
There is a lot of filler in this one with a very loose, kind of ridiculous plot.
Yeah. It gets going really fast, and it doesn't stop, and it definitely doesn't stop to let you ask the question of, like, wait, what just happened? So there's a few. It's actually, for my top three moments, one of them is the fact that it's the least logical, most convenient story ever. there are just gigantic leaps in logic. Like, the bin is directly under a fault line. And it's like, it just affects the money bin, which is super convenient for this story. Somehow, they manage to dig down. It looks like there's already a mine shaft in place because it takes them no time at all to dig down to get into the fault lines. So that
you don't know how much time has passed there.
Sure, sure. It seems like not very long. So that Gyro can install a gigantic shock absorber.
That was hilarious.
Yeah. Which is just completely ridiculous, which I don't have a problem with. It's just like, I don't think that you can really dig into a fault line to put a shock absorber in it. I think that you would be really worried about disturbing the geology and causing problems by yourself.
So this is one thing about, this is classic Karl Barks writing, yeah, is that you do the ridiculous things to get the story. Because when you're cranking out these,
sure,
you know, 8, 10 page, sometimes 20 page stories every month, you do these things to do it. So in the comic, Donald Duck suggests, because Scrooge is worried about the earthquake, so Donald suggests, well, why don't you just dig straight down underneath the money bin for, you know, several miles or whatever, to see if there are any, mm-hmm, any cracks in the walls, in the rock bed and that kind of thing. And then you'll know for sure if there's earthquakes or not, which also is just a ridiculous idea.
Yeah.
But that's just what you got to do to get these stories out.
So I love that the solution after Scrooge, after his mine cart gets out of control, the solution is for Gyro, an adult,
yep,
to send three children in their own mine cart.
I think it was his intention to go, but he just tripped and missed the boat.
Yeah, yeah. It's very DuckTales-esque in the way that everything plays out, but it's just
very 80s as well.
Yeah, like, why would you let these kids go down there when Scrooge is now in mortal danger? And then once they're down there, the triplets encounter the little Terraformian, and they are totally unfazed by the fact that they're encountering a weird subterranean creature, sentient creature that can roll into a ball. They don't even react to that. It's not weird at all. Nor is it weird for the Terraformians to meet these surface dwellers. And then the logic of where's everybody going? They're going to the games. Everybody's going to be there. Well, if everybody's going to be there, then obviously Uncle Scrooge is going to be there. It's like, no, that doesn't make any sense. I'll give it to you because, you know, they are children. They're young children. So, you know, they can make that leap in logic. But it just, as far as stories go, this one, it's just a matter of getting you from one hijink to the next. Right.
But that's okay. I think that's, that's usually, it still does better than a lot of 80s cartoons do, I guess, in terms of their storytelling. I think this is just this is par for the course in terms of 80s cartoons.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, it's definitely, I think the thing is that there is a good episode here with a good story, but it's almost like the whole thing's on fast forward.
It is, yeah, and they shave a lot. I mean, if you go back to the original story, there's so much great interaction that Karl Barks puts in there, just between the ducks and the Terraformians, mm-hmm, and all of that is taken out, and replaced with just extremely long minecart chases and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But one of my favorite moments actually is the backgrounds, which I noticed especially during the mine chase or the mine cart roller coaster ride or whatever. There was just some great background paintings. The big whatever monster skeleton that they ride through and that kind of thing. Usually, if you don't notice the backgrounds, that means that they're really good and they've done a good job of making them look and blend in. And because they stand out to me in this one doesn't mean that they were not doing their job. I just happened to notice them. And I thought they were really good.
Yeah. One of the things right there at the end of the episode, the little guy smashes into the pillar and it causes the earthquake that is in Scrooge's worst nightmare. All of his money drains out of the money bin. Really fast, actually, for money yep. going down a crack. And then as easily as it all poured down, it just shoots right back up. And there's no explanation as to, like, the crack being sealed or anything like that. It just goes back up, completely defying physics or logic of any kind. Because at the end of the story, it's a TV show, right? And especially it's a kid's cartoon. We have to leave our characters the exact same way that we found them. There can't be anything transformative about the story. It's one of the things that I like about the new DuckTales is that there's obviously a mythology and there's a serialized aspect to the story that's playing out. And one episode actually affects the next episode. And characters learn things and grow. But in back in the day in the 80s and the 90s, you did not do that with your characters.
No, nope.
You just
everything returned back to the way it was.
Everything had to be exactly the same way it was when you found it. The exception, I guess, with DuckTales is that eventually we do get new characters that join in, stick around for an episode or two. And then come back later on in continuity, right? But, kind of few and far between. That's
definitely.
That's the exception and not the norm, right? But when those characters return, no matter how long it's been, they're exactly the same as the last time we saw them. So, yeah, I just thought that was... like I said, this episode's on fast forward, right? So... if there was some sort of explanation or logic as to why his money went shooting back up into the bin, it's kind of lost in the speed of the episode. Right.
Well, I don't think there is any supposed to be any logic. It's just supposed to be what happened. And that's one of the defining moments from the comic as well. So I'm glad they included that part in there. I really liked Scrooge's nightmare at the beginning of the episode, his prophetic nightmare. And I liked how the episode kind of bookended with the money all escaping out of his money bin.
Yeah.
And there was some fantastic animation from that and those iconic moments that we see in the theme song.
Yeah.
So that was really great.
I love how fast Scrooge deals with the fact that his money's all gone. But then he's like, oh, my money, I'm ruined. And then Mrs. Beakley is like, well, money's not everything. And he's like, yeah, you're right. You know what? If I made it once, I can make it again. And it's like, Scrooge, you're like 80. It's taken you a long time to accumulate all this wealth. Maybe he's not quite 80, but like the idea where he's just like, you know what, if I made billions of dollars once, I can make billions of dollars again. That's quintessential Scrooge McDuck. It just happens so quickly because no quicker does he say that than his money is back and he's leaping into it and swimming through it again. But like I said, like there is a good episode here. It's just that the way they executed it, I think maybe it should have been a two-parter.
Yeah. But they didn't do that kind of thing for just any old episode back then.
Yeah. And at the end of the episode, when they lose, because Scrooge takes the trophy, the broken vase, in order to stop the games, his hat gets left behind, and they instead use his hat as the trophy. So it's yet another piece of sort of nonsense business that they did in the episode where he gets the trophy, and it's like, oh, the day is saved. But then they're like, no, we're just going to use this hat as a trophy instead. And so what needed to happen happens anyways.
Yeah. I liked I don't know if the small Terraformian isn't really named, is he, or do they call him Junior or something?
I don't necessarily remember his name.
But I liked when he got his moment to shine, because of course you know that that's going to happen since they've been building that up through the episode. But I like the message of persistence and on that kind of stuff. It had a good 80s feel to that side of things absolutely. Too. So as far as references are concerned, we can, I mentioned in the Terror of the Terraformians episode that we recorded a few weeks ago, that this episode is based on Land Beneath the Ground, a classic Carl Barks story from Uncle Scrooge number 13 from March 1956.
Wow.
Yep. And it was adapted fairly faithfully to this episode of DuckTales that we just watched, except that in the comic, the Terraformians are two rival clans, and they face off in these games that cause the earthquakes in order to show which is the better race. And the only distinction between the races are the two different types of neckties that we wear. And in this episode, these Terraformians have the two different type of neckties, but there's no rivalry between tribes. They're all just one group.
Interesting.
And so in the new DuckTales episode, Terror of the Terraformians, Webby explains the history of the Terries and the Fermies in her little diary or whatever it is. And that's the story of the comic, which is sort of faithfully adapted here in this episode. So that's all you really need to know. There is a book called Carl Barks's Greatest DuckTales Stories, Volume 1, and you can see this story, the original story, Land Beneath the Ground, in that collection. So you can search that one out. It's out of print, so hopefully you can find it for a good price, but it should be easy to find.
Cool. Yeah, I do like that. I now, you know, you can go and you can read the comic and you can really trace back the story, and I like that. That's the way that we've kind of built this out. Is we did the Terror of the Terraformians, and now we're doing Earthquake, and if you want to jump into the comics, you can see where it originated all the way back in 1956.
Yeah, man, that's like 70 years ago.
Yeah, it's really cool. With a lot of things nowadays, especially since so many things are adapted or they're sequels or reimaginings, reboots, just like DuckTales is, it's really fun to be able to actually directly trace that back. And I think that's one of the fun things we get to do on the podcast.
Totally.
And especially with you, Curtis, being part of this. This is why I do the podcast with you, because I would just watch that episode and go, oh, that's fun. I think I remember that in an old episode of DuckTales.
Right.
But you have that knowledge, and so it's really great, I think, for our younger listeners to know that these ideas, these concepts came from somewhere, and they've kind of been out there in the world since 1956 and evolving and changing. That's really fun, I think.
Well, glad I can do it.
Cool. Why don't we check in with our Junior Woodchuck podcast and see what they thought of this episode?
Yeah, so we have a special treat this week. We were out of town visiting family, so we got Peter and Milo got some of their cousins to participate in this episode. So we have joining us Linus and Crosby. With Peter and Milo, we all watched Earthquake together, and so let's hear what they have to say.
This is the Junior Woodchuck Podcast. My name is Milo.
My name is Peter, and today we have some special guests. Meet Linus and Crosby.
Hello, I'm Linus.
Hi, I'm Crosby.
And they are going to be with us on our Junior Woodchuck podcast. And we are talking about Earthquake.
So, Crosby, what was your favorite part?
My favorite part was when the child got to roll into the stone. When the child rolly thing rolled into the thing. It made a really big thing, and all the judges went 10, 10, 10, 10. That was my favorite part.
My favorite part was when they all worked together to get the gold back up into his vault. That was really cool.
And my favorite part, it's like, my favorite part was the dream. In the dream, it had a lot of parts of the title, like the song, the title song.
It's You're like, right, Peter.
The hurricane part, like all the money falls, like, and the giant beagle boys holding him. Yeah.
Who are those beagle boys anyway?
Oh, they appear in a few episodes. They're really bad. They're bad guys.
Are they like baddest guys in the whole life? Well, the whole life world of Duckburg.
I've got a question. Are they like robbers or something?
They kind of like robbers, but they're bad guys. They got into jail once, and someone like gave them like these cupcakes, and one of the big old boys ate them, and it blew up inside them. And they're supposed to like break them out of jail.
What was the first time you ever watched the DuckTales?
Just now. Same for me.
What is the silliest part in this one?
I think that the silliest part was when the earthquake happened in the cave, and they're like, wow, is that an earthquake? I didn't know that earthquakes could whistle. And then the other one said, they can't.
I think the silliest part is when the guards put Uncle Scrooge in jail, and they're like, oh, now we're gonna miss the rest of the game. Like, that was kind of silly, because you never notice that in other shows when they're like guards while something big is happening. Like, guards are guarding like a jail cell while like you never notice that in any other show until someone says it.
My funniest part was when Scrooge found a crack. He really wanted to follow it. And the money bin cracked open and all of the money filled out. Less than the next time he checked, he saw that all of the money was back.
My silliest part was when all of the workmen got, like, heard the scary voice, other gun like, wait,
that's what I
do you have any questions for us, Liza Crosby?
I used to say something about that last question, that like, was like how I felt when I sensed something in the garage. Like, there's nothing there, but I just sensed something, like another person, but there's nothing there, which is really weird. But I felt like that.
I was actually following you.
What?
Yep.
Okay. I'll ask a question now. What was your favorite character?
I think my favorite character is And my favorite character is the Rolly child.
My favorite character is Scrooge, because he has so much money.
I think I asked the question, so Peter should be next.
I pretty much like all of them. I can't choose, so I like almost all of them. Just all of them. I choose all of them.
I liked the young Terraformian. I liked him too.
Is it because of the cute bow tie?
No, it was because he was really good. Like, that was awesome. Like,
now did the grandpa shine?
He actually was like, you actually banged into the wall really hard, like, and no one thought he could. That was really awesome. Like, yeah. That was what I thought about.
And you got
was
four awesome. Tens.
Okay, see you next afternoon.
Afternoon.
Goodbye.
So, Mike, what is your lucky dime rating for this episode?
You know, this is a tough one. My gut is to give it just a flat 20 cents. Because I just did not really, like, I was barely even engaged with this episode. If it weren't for the fact that we were doing the podcast, I probably would have just checked out. But it does have some of that really iconic stuff in the opening, and that's in the theme song, right? And the Terraformians, although they're kind of glossed over in this, I really do love that character design. I love how they roll up into that perfect little sphere. And there is some pretty great animation, despite the story being a little bit sped up. The minecart stuff and the Terraformians themselves are all so well animated. So I'm going to bump it up to 30 cents. I think that's where I'll leave it.
Oh, that's pretty good. Well, nostalgia weighs heavy for me in this one, of course, and because this is one that I've seen over and over again, so I think I'm going to. But yeah, watching it and talking to you, I do recognize the kind of the rushed storytelling and stuff, and it. But I think it still holds up. I'm going to give it 35 cents, and we'll call it at that. So what is cool. That, 75 cents? No, 65 cents.
65 cents, yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, overall, I think that that's a watchable episode. I think that's not too bad. It's definitely, like, there are redeeming qualities in this one. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, we have exciting news that next week we get a new episode of new DuckTales.
Yeah, the next episode is titled The Impossible Summit of Mount Neverest, and this is the one that in the production schedule is actually, it's the second episode, right?
Yes.
After the two-part premiere. So, we're very, very out of order. We've talked about that before, but this is the episode that focuses on Huey. And it sounds like it's actually going to be a very adventure-based episode. Do you want to read the description?
Sure. Scrooge and Huey are determined to be the first to set Scrooge and Huey are determined to be the first to set foot atop an impossible summit, but the snow-capped mountain holds a treacherous secret that tests both their willpower and survival skills.
I'm kind of hoping that there's a Yeti in this episode.
I'm hoping too.
And if there is, that it is reminiscent of the Matterhorn Yeti at Disneyland.
We could see that. There's also a classic Carl Barks story and a classic DuckTales story that involve Yeti as well. So we'll see if it resembles that Yeti.
Cool. Awesome. Well, it's exciting. It's great that we're going to be back for one episode and then it's back to a break.
Yeah.
But maybe we'll figure out some stuff. I don't know. You know, going into December is always tough because as much as I think we want a podcast, especially with kids. It just
gets pretty busy. Yep.
It gets pretty busy during Christmas. But, maybe we can try and grab like a Christmas themed episode or something to tide people over. But, in the meantime, I think that does it for this episode. So, thank you guys for tuning in. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you on the next one.
See you next afternoon.
Don't forget you can stay up to date with all the latest DuckTales news by heading to cartoonafternoon.com where you'll find everything DuckTales and Disney cartoon related for the shows that we cover. You can also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/tuneafternoon as well as on Twitter at tuneafternoon. And if you want to send us an email, you can do that by sending us an email at tuneafternoon@gmail.com.
You can also find us on Twitter. You can find me at Curtis Findlay, KURTISFINDLAY.
And I'm on Twitter at ArcWulf, ArkWulf. And don't forget that we are part of the Thunderquack Podcast Network. Head to thunderquack.com to check out all the other great podcasts in our network. And if you want to support us, you can do that two ways. First, by heading to store.thunderquack.com to pick up some merch. Or you can head to patreon.com/thunderquack. and pledge your support over there. It's a monthly pledge. As low as $1 a month gets you access to the exclusive Thunderquack podcast, as well as the Thunderquack Patreon Facebook group. So that's patreon.com/thunderquack. And thank you to everybody who does support us over there.
Disney Dad's Cartoon Afternoon is not associated with the Disney Company in any way. All characters, titles, music, and everything is all copyright of their respective owners. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time on Disney Dad's Cartoon Afternoon.